Okay, Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis. We are 5 lines before the widest lines. So you see, you got a few sets of lines there. We got the widest lines at the bottom. 5 lines before that, we have 2 dots. Right? Amar Rabbi Elazar. Okay? Shlomo, you okay? Alright? Okay. Ripstein, you okay? Got it? Oh, okay. Omar Abi Eloza. Ma'i diksiv, what's meant by the following pasuk in Tehillim? David HaMelech says, Kain avarechecho b'chayai, indeed, I will bless, is the straight translation. We'll give you a bracha. Bracha, the term bracha really includes more than blessing. We'll see. I will bless you in my life. Bishimcha esokapai. In your name, I lift up my hands. Now that we know in general, lifting up one's hands is an expression for tefillah. So, that's it. David is talking to Hashem. This is Tehillim. So he's saying, indeed, I will bless you in my life. In your name, I lift up my hands. What does this mean? Kain avarechecho b'chayai. Indeed, I will bless you in my life. Zu kriyashma. That's referring to kriyashma. Bishimcho esokapai. And when we say, in your name, I lift up my hands. Zu tfila. That's referring to tfila. So David is saying, I recite Kriya Shema and I daven. That's basically what he's saying. Now, what happens to a person who does these things? The pasuk continues. Vim Oisekein, if one does these things, Olav HaKosu Voimer. The pasuk says about him, this is really how that pasuk continues. Kemoi Chelev V'deshen Tisba Nafshi. Like with the fatty parts and with plenty, my soul is sated. Meaning, I will be served all the best things. And not only that, he will get 2 worlds. Olam hazeh v'olam haba. Olam hazeh v'olam haba. Shenema, as that pasuk continues, usfasai renonois yahalel pi. And my lips will express joyous expressions, and my mouth will praise. So renonois, the joyous expressions, the plural is meant as a reference to 2 states of joy, one in this world and one in the next. So it seems simple enough. All kinds of great promises for a person who's on the unbelievable madriga of saying Kriya Shema and davening every day. Okay, so yeah, it seems like a little bit of a simplistic drush on the pasuk, but the Mefarshim go on and on about this Gemara. That's number one. Why should Kriya Shema be a blessing of Hashem, especially since you're asking, we've emphasized so many times that in Kriya Shema you're not even talking to Hashem. Okay? Good. So, the Mefarshim basically say as follows. So first of all, what is a bracha? When we say Hashem should be blessed, what does that mean? We wish Hashem health, a good parnasa. What are we wishing Hashem? So Rav Hirsch says that the concept of nachas from the kinder, that's a good bracha. And the truth is that that's closest to what it actually means. In other words, if you might say it a little more precisely, I'm wishing Hashem nachas from me, right? In other words, Rav Hirsch says as follows: the term bracha, when we talk about blessing Hashem, what it denotes is furthering His will. We say Hashem should be blessed, that means His will should be carried out. Really, that's the only thing that's in our hands to give Hashem, kiviyachol. Kiviyachol. Even about that we say kiviyachol. But other than that, it's fine. Don't worry about Hashem's health, don't worry about Hashem's parnasa, don't worry about Hashem, He's fine. doesn't need you. The only thing that's in our hand, kiviyachol, to grant him is that his will should be carried out. When we say, may Hashem be blessed, that means, may his will be carried out. So, in other words, blessing Hashem means carrying out Hashem's will, furthering Hashem's will. Now, if we'll abstract that a little bit, so we're saying that actually Kriyat Shema represents furthering Hashem's will in this world. Tefillah is tefillah. We'll see what the significance of that is soon. Basically, all of our spiritual activity in this world, you can say, boils down to mainly two agendas. Two agendas. In one way, this is one way of categorizing it. You can categorize it in a lot of ways. This is one way of categorizing it. There's the plane upon which I'm interacting with Hashem, and there's the plane upon which I am representing Hashem, furthering Hashem's cause in this world. In which case, so to speak, I'm not actually interacting with Hashem. I'm turning around. I interacted with Hashem, spoke to Hashem in tefillah. Now I'm turning around and going ahead and fulfilling the mission that He imposes upon me. The truth is that this encompasses almost all the mitzvahs. Hashem, so to speak, we discussed this idea a few times. Hashem, so to speak, withdrew from this world. Hashem is not apparent in this world. People can, if you look for Hashem in this world, you can find Him. But a people can go through this world without seeing Hashem. I'll break it to you. People do. So, our job is, Hashem created this void in which His glory is not apparent, and He said, I want you to be the ones representing me here. We are Hashem's ambassadors. We're the ones representing Hashem. How? By declaring Hashem. How do we declare Hashem? Through thought, action, and word. All the mitzvahs that we're doing are basically demonstrating there's Hashem. This is most directly expressed through Kriyat Shema. Like we said, what's Kriyat Shema doing? It's a declaration. Hashem Echad. It looks like there's a whole independent existence here. There's a whole world here. But we're coming in and declaring Hashem Echad. Really, it's all just Hashem. So in other words, the void that Hashem left open, we're meant to come and fill with awareness of Hashem. We come and declare Hashem's presence. That's one sense. In the other sense, we want to sum up what we're busy doing in this world, it's interacting with Hashem, which is obviously most directly expressed through tefillah. So we say, I bless Hashem. We say, I bless Hashem, zut kriyat shema. What we mean is, I bless Hashem, i.e., I am busy furthering His cause in this world. Hashem, kiviyachol, is not apparent in this world. I'm spending my life making Him apparent. Kriyat Shema, I'm declaring Hashem Echad. When I live my life as a Jew, that's simply manifesting to everybody around. Why is this guy closing his shop on Shabbos? Why does this guy walk around with that funny thing on his head? Why does this guy not take the cheaper brand of food in the store and take the more expensive stuff? And all these things we are demonstrating, it's basically one answer to all. Because it's Hashem. Because it's Hashem. Because it's Hashem. That's why I do or don't do certain things. That's why I do or don't say certain things, etc. So basically, in our lives, this is how we can sum up in a nutshell what all of our mitzvahs, etc., is about. It's about expressing Hashem. In that sense, we're blessing Hashem. This is most directly expressed through Kriyat Shema. So that's called blessing Hashem. Now, b'shimcha esok hapai, in your name I raise up my hands, means, while I'm busy expressing you in this world, manifesting you in this world, I'm also busy interacting with you the whole time. We're meant not just to turn around and go representing Hashem, but we're also meant to be developing a live relationship with Hashem the whole time. We're kind of busy with two chores, two missions at the same time, to keep connected with Hashem on the one hand, while on the other hand, to be out there expressing Hashem, to be out there manifesting Hashem. These are represented through Kriyat Shema and Tefillah. In Kriyat Shema, we're declaring Hashem Echad. In tefillah, we are connecting to Hashem, interacting with Hashem, living our relationship with Hashem. This basically, raising the hands was in earlier times even more. That was how people prayed. People prayed with their hands lifted up to heaven in order to get as close as you can to actually Sfardim have the minig today too. It said, Poseach Sidecho Masbiya Lechol Chayotzon. They lift up their hands as though to receive Hashem's blessing. So lift up our hands as though, like a baby turns to his father, right? Like, well, that's what the baby's doing. They want you to pick them up. They go like that. So he daven with our hands. What's that? What? In Poseach Sidecho. Right. So what we're actually doing is we daven with our reaching up to Hashem. Reaching out to Hashem. I don't know. In fact, we've seen in the past that the Arizal says, you see in different Sfarim, that when it talks about the top of the arm and the bottom of the arm, the top of the arm is this, the bottom of the arm is this. Why? The Arizal says, because spiritually, man's natural state is like this. And therefore, the fingertips are the top of the arm. The shoulder is the bottom of the arm. A person is, in essence, a prayer. Not a prayer as in the... A person who's praying. A prayer. Right? That's how we spend our lives, reaching up to Hashem. Okay. What's that? Ani tefillah, that's right. Ani tefillah. I am a prayer. Which means, I mean, it says, Ani ish tefillah. I am a man of prayer. That's what defines my essence. Good. Halavai would be davening all day long. Truth is, a person could reach a situation where he is davening all day long, where everything he's doing is actually interacting with Hashem. So yes, this pasuk where David HaMelech is saying so simplistically, if you say Kriya Shema and you daven every day, that's the epitome of what a Jew is about. It's true, but we mean if you're really living what the Kriya Shema and the Tefillah are all about. That's the that basically encompasses everything that we're here for. Now, then the pasuk continues and says, and if you do that, when I do that, David HaMelech says, it's like I'm sated with the best of things. So here also, all the Mepharshim basically say, the Tzlach, the Noida B'Yehuda, the Maharal, that when a person lives this way, he reaches true fulfillment in this world. When a person really lives connected with Hashem, he's not a suffering Jew. Suffering Jews are Jews who the tuning of their spirituality is a little bit off. They're pious and they're busy doing mitzvahs, but they think that they're here to suffer for Hashem. They haven't quite connected. When a person is really living it right, when a person is really living a relationship with Hashem, his life is a life of fulfillment. His life is a life of gratification. That's what David is saying. If a person really lives this way, a person lives with that sense of mission. I am Hashem's ambassador in this world. In everything I do and say and even think. And when a person is busy always cultivating that live relationship with Hashem, it's a life of fulfillment. And therefore the pasuk continues. Yes, he achieves Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. And the truth is, that's a very chush of a barometer. Barometer. If a person wants to test his spiritual level, the better you feel about it, if you're enjoying Olam Hazeh, you're enjoying it in this world, that shows that you're getting it right. Now the truth is, it's tough. It's not an easy thing. If you don't feel that way, don't be dejected. But the epitome is not for a person to be suffering piously in this world, but for a person to be enjoying the ruchnius that he's doing. This the way the system is really set up, if we get it all right, is that we enjoy this world, and that's just the hakdama to enjoying the next. Okay. Now, just note something interesting that the Neid of Yehuda Tzach says. He says that the preceding psukim say, in the pasuk before this, David says, "Ki gadol toiv mechayim chas." Gadol mechayim, but toiv mechayim chas tocha. What's the lashon of the pasuk? Toiv mechayim chas tocha. Gadol mechayim chas tocha. Something. The point being, your chesed is greater than life. Your chesed is greater than life. What does that mean? That's it. Toiv chastecha mechayim. Your chesed is greater than life. Meaning, Hashem gave us life, but Hashem's chesed is so much better than that. What does that mean? what that's supposed to mean. What's better than life? Anything is contained in life, no? So the Tzlach says, David HaMelech is really making the fundamental point that we're all supposed to live as Jews. Hashem created us for very, very great chesed. Life is not that chesed. We were created to be the chief beneficiaries of Hashem. Everything that Hashem created for chesed. But the chesed is given out on different levels. Hashem created one creature who he wants to give kiveyachol the most that there is to give in Hashem's terms. That can't be fathomed by the mind. And David HaMelech is saying, what?
Why one over the other?
Don't know. Don't know. But that would bother us more if we were cats. Since we're the ones who were chosen as the ones to get it, shouldn't bother us too much. So really you have to understand that life, it's just a certain preliminary. It's kind of like filling out the paperwork beforehand. Each of us is slated to go on and experience, so to speak, the ultimate of what Hashem has to give. But first you have to stop into the office and fill out the paperwork. That's really what life is. So sure, toiv chastecho mechayim. The chesed that Hashem has in mind for us is much more. Any experience that we have in life is Hashem showing you a little preview, a very faint preview. Gives you a little peek into the window of what's coming. But it's all nothing. It's a little bit of a preliminary before you actually go on to enjoy it. So David HaMelech says, yet, avarechecho bechayai. It's not just like life. When a person is really living in this way, none of us really experience that. It's like the Kuzari says, most people, they know about Olam Haba, and they believe in Olam Haba, and Olam Haba is better than anything, but they don't mind if it takes a long time, right? It's fine, I'm willing to delay the bliss. But there were people who really lived on a level that they were so excited about getting to Olam Haba that they were looking forward to it. So David HaMelech is saying, yet, there's plenty to get out of this life too. No, in this life also there's what to get. Don't think that this life is nothing because it's so focused on Olam Haba. Okay. We'll move on. Rabbi Elazar, Basad emet science loisei omar hochi. When Rabbi Elazar would finish his tefillah, he would say as follows. Now, okay, before we see what he said, I'm just going to preface, and now we're going to go into a very lengthy Gemara citing a whole bunch of Amoraim's personal tefillahs at the end of their davening. We'll see one after the other. Another Amora that Tezayinim with Beis right before the widest lines. Another Amora and another Amora, each one his personal tefillah after davening. So the idea here is, first of all, this itself is meant to give us a certain perspective on davening. The Anshei Knesset HaGdola set up a set formula for davening. People davened way before that too. People were davening from the time of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov three times a day, like we do. Shacharis, Mincha, and Maariv. How did it work before the Anshei Knesset HaGdola set it up? The way it worked is that three times a day, people got up and said a tefillah composed on the spot. A personal tefillah. No two people's tefillahs were the same. Three times a day. Each time, a personal tefillah. Now, at that time, the thought of a formulated tefillah was sacrilegious. It's like, it counters the whole concept of what tefillah is. Tefillah is a very personal thing between me and Hashem. What, to have a text that I read off? That goes against the whole concept. What's personal about that? What's tefillah about that? But the Anshei Knesset HaGdola saw that we were reaching a point in history where the system was starting to fail. And imagine if we were supposed to do that three times a day, come up with a long tefillah. Wait a minute, after I just put in the effort to come up with a shacharis, I need a 2-week break. Right? The three times a day to put in a whole long, heartfelt, personally composed tefillah. Anshei Knesset HaGdola saw that that wasn't going to last very long, and therefore they came along and made a set formula. Yet at the same time, Chazal admonish us, don't lose what tefillah is all about. Don't just turn tefillah into something automatic. And therefore, what's being illustrated here is how the Amoraim, yes, tefillah is a text, but yet each one had his own personal part of the tefillah, and we're meant to do that too. When you're davening, each day, whatever the situation is, wherever you are in life, formulate, express your own state to Hashem, express your own desires to Hashem, your worries, your concerns, etc. And now we're going to see how each of the Amoraim did that. How many Amoraim did that?
They just said.
They said it at the end. What's that?
The same thing over and over again.
Oh, so it does seem that this was their set tefillah, which kind of is more of an indication of what this person's general agenda in life was. Presumably, whatever issues they had at the time, they said also. But you're right, part of the point of this Gemara is, and it's very interesting, part of the point of this Gemara is seeing different Amoraims, how they viewed life, what their general concern in life was, what was it they wanted to achieve. They were expressing here, each was expressing here, what he wanted to get out of life in a general way, what was on his mind the whole time in a general way. Let's see. Nitzlach points out how, well, note as we go through this, that it was basically all about their spiritual ambitions. Just each one expressed it from his personal perspective. Which is also, you see, it's interesting how different people's avodah can manifest in different ways. Let's see. So Rabbi Elazar, Bosar de Messiah Sloisei Omar Hochi. When Rabbi Elazar would finish his tefillah, he would say as follows. Yotzoin milfanecho Hashem Elokeinu. May it be your will, Hashem, shetashkein bepureinu, that you will settle in our lot, Ahava, the Achva, the Shalom, the Reus, love and brotherhood and peace and friendliness. Okay, well, first we'll go through the tefillah and then we'll see piece by piece what's being expressed here. Ve'tarbeg v'leinu betalmidim, and let me have many talmidim. Ve'tatzliach soifeinu acharis v'tikva, and let my end be a successful end, an end of reaching what I hope. Ve'tasim chelkeinu b'gan Eden, and let my lot be in Gan Eden. Ve'taknenu b'chaver toiv, and set us up with a good friend. Ve'yetzer toiv, and with good inclination. Ba'olamecha, in your world. Ve'nashkim ve'nimtza yichul livaveinu, and let us wake up and find that our aspirations are le'yira eshemecha, to fear you. Ve'tavoy lefanecha koras nafshenu le'toivo, and may our happiness be considered favorably before you. Okay, that was the tefillah. Now I want to back up and just actually go through it piece by piece and see what it is that he was saying. So first of all, shetashkin bipureinu avo ve'achva v'shalem bereus, settle in our lot, love and brotherhood and peace and friendship. What's the difference between love and brotherhood and peace and friendship? So the Ben Ish Chai says, the Ben Yoyada, he says that he's actually referring to four different levels of relationships. Love, Ava, love, that he's talking about him and his wife. He's davening for a successful in his relationship with his wife. That's why some of us should say that Pureinu actually means the bed. Okay, that's Ava. Achva is brotherhood, and that's referring to, and the wife is the closest, brotherhood is referring to my relatives. Those, my family, let me have the best relationship with them as possible. V'shalom, let me live in peace. This means that there are many people who are over me in life and who affect my life, who influence my life, be it a Rebbe, a boss, the government, right? So when he said, let me live in peace, that means let things be okay between me and them. Between my boss, between the mayor, government, whatever it is, the people over me, the people who I'm at their mercy. Bereus means general, friendship means general society around me. In other words, you see that a very central focus in his life was harmony. Harmony with the people around him. In all the different levels. The wife is one whole story, family is another story. The people above me is another story, simply in the practical sense. They can make my life miserable. And yes, to daven for successful dynamics with the people around me. V'tabek v'leinu b'talmidim. We daven, give me a lot of students. This also is a very, very big ambition that all of the great people had, which basically we discussed just the other day. That was basically the whole aspiration of the others. Anything that I achieve in spirituality, I don't want to die with me. I want it to be perpetuated. And therefore, they used to daven and try to have as many talmidim as possible so as to spread. Whatever I achieved in this world should be lasting. Meaning, let us have the satisfaction of already seeing our aspirations met in this world. And then, the same can be Gan Eden. Ultimately, of course, we want to get to Gan Eden. Okay. Sakneinu v'chover tov, yetzer tov, they daven to have a good friend. This is, of course, very, very important in Ruchnius. Depending on who you associate with, it's very, very much going to determine the level of your spirituality. And yetzer tov, you have to daven for yetzer tov also. It's not just an issue of making the right choices. You have to daven for Hashem to give you the right ideas and the right inspirations. And then the next point is, v'nashkim v'nimtza yichu levaveinu liyirei shemecha. He's davening. Let us wake up and find that our aspirations are to serve you. What's that? Liyira. Where I lost the place? Liyirei shemecha. Let me have a yitzhak on the mechel. Why in this world? I don't know. Yeah. Then he says, let us find that our aspirations are to fear you, meaning, in other words, to serve you. Very good. That's what Shlomo is suggesting. I mean, the point is, let us have a good friend and a good inclination in your world. Meaning, sometimes you can have a good friend in a different world. In the material world, in the real world, right? The real world is the most disgusting place there is. The real world. No. We want a good friend and good ideas in your world. Not in cyberspace. And not in any of these other worlds that our world is full of. Which second part? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I hear. Why is it in this order? I don't know. Now this next feel is very interesting. This feel in which he asks, let us wake up and find that our aspirations are to serve you. What does that mean? If you have the right aspirations, what is he davening for exactly here? So here also, the Mefarshim study this a lot. And there are some very interesting things that are said here. So first of all, the Ben Yehuda just says in general, like we've already seen throughout the first parak, sleeping is considered a very critical time. Because it's a time of spiritual jeopardy. And very often, a person's day is set basically off wherever he was at night. And that's why it's so important to make sure to go to sleep in the right way and go to sleep with the right thoughts and position yourself right and fall asleep from saying Kriya Shema and to be having the right thoughts as you're falling asleep, like we saw from the Maharal back in the first parak. You're busy thinking that I'm putting my neshama into Hashem's hands. Because when a person does go to the wrong places in bed, it can affect the whole day too. The Menishkai says that that's basically what he's davening. He's davening for help to get through the dangers, spiritual dangers of going to sleep at night, in order to be able to continue spiritual progress the next day and not to have setbacks. Reb Tzadik says something interesting. Reb Tzadik says something interesting, which is something to note. He says, often a person doesn't end the day right. We run into complications. We have our failures, this, that. Many days are not such a great day. And the new day is a good opportunity to start new. That's actually one of the reasons, Rabbi Victor Miller says, that's one of the reasons why the system is set up such that you go to sleep at the end of every day. Theoretically, it could have been that you run straight for a week and then you recharge. Or maybe there would be no need to recharge. Why is it so apparent important to have this system of day and night and to need to sleep in order to recharge your kaifas? So Tzaddik says that, no, Hashem likes to provide a person with new starts. New starts is a very important thing for progress, because we do mess up and we do fall into ruts. And if we were just going to continue, there would be a spiral downwards. You go to sleep, you wake up in the morning with a fresh start, it's a new chance. Forget about what was yesterday, I can start again. He shows how that's true on very deep Kabbalistic levels as well. It's mamish, I think we actually cited this idea, that it says, though the neshama goes up and is reborn. That's also why we said you wash your hands in the morning, you're like a new creature. A person can view himself as a new creature, forget what was yesterday, move on now. Interesting to note, by the way, that at one point there was a move, there was a motion. Know that the yeshivas have three breaks in the year, three ben azmanim. Sukkot time, Pesach time, and in the summer. In the summer there's a 3 week break. So there was one time a suggestion to stop the summer break. Two breaks in the year is enough. Get more learning in. Rav Shach said no. He said, you can't underestimate the value of a new beginning. This way, we have in the year three new beginnings. We can't afford to take it down to two. Better to have the 3 week vacation and to retain that new beginning. We want that added new beginning. New beginning is a very valuable tool in spirituality. Okay. Now I'll just add one interesting thing. This is what Magid Ta'aluma says. Magid Ta'aluma was the Dinever. He says, when he said that may we wake up and find our aspirations in the right place, he meant something mind-boggling. He was talking about after davening. He said, when we're davening, we are completely detached from this world, completely detached from reality. We're in a different place. It's as though our bodies have been put to sleep, right? We've been put out. My body is numb, left down in this world. I'm soaring up to the highest of places. Soon, when I finish my davening, when I take my three steps back, I'm going to wake up. That's how he's putting it. I'm going to wake up. So, while I'm davening, I know my heart is in the right place. I know I'm in the right place. But I'm davening to you, Hashem. I'm about to conclude my davening. As I conclude my davening and I wake back up, let me keep my focuses in the right place. Okay, halavai, we should identify with that. Okay. We move on. Rabbi Yochanan, Bosa de Messiah, so say, Omar Hoke. When Rabbi Yochanan would finish his tefillah, he would say as follows. Yiratzoin milfanecho Hashem Elokeinu. May it be your will, Hashem Elokeinu, shetotzitz bivoshteinu, that you peer, meaning you take note of our shame, v'tavid b'raseinu, and look at our bad state, v'tislabesh b'rachamecho, and don your mercy, v'tiskase b'uzcha, and cover yourself with your strength, and wrap yourself with your piety, and gird yourself with your midah of chanina, of graciousness, of giving things for free, and let your midah of goodness and of humility be most prevalent before you. Rabbi Yochanan, in general, we see that he was living in times of persecution, and very much of his consciousness in life was the dismal state of the Jewish people at the time. how the Jewish religion and Jewish life in general is being persecuted. And therefore, we see him begging of Hashem to carry the burden of all Klal Yisrael on his shoulders. And that was just on his mind the whole time. Begging of Hashem to look at our bad state, to take note, and to act on it. Now, it's just interesting here also to cite what the Mar Shah and the Neid Behuda, the Tzlach, what they say here, what he meant when he said, look at our embarrassment and look at our bad state. He says something interesting. He says, what he meant was as follows. Hashem knows everything, right? Hashem knows that we have our Averis. He knows that. But Rabbi Yochanan is saying as follows. We have our Averis, but we're ashamed of them. So when you're looking at our Averis, note also that we're ashamed of them and take that into account. View it in that perspective. As we've seen in the first parak, actually being embarrassed because of an Avera you did could be a very big schus. Might even outweigh the Avera. So Rabbi Yochanan is saying, yes, we have our Averis, but he's a limud schus here. He's invoking that merit. But note that we're embarrassed of what we did. It's interesting. We say on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Leboichen levavois beyoin din. He who analyzes or examines the hearts on the Yom Din. So the Reb Chaim Soloveitchik used to weep bitterly when he said that Hashem is mamish going to be examining the deepest places in our hearts. It's a scary thing. But the Bitzel of Blazer, I believe it was, the famous Talmud of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, he said, on the contrary, those words are the most heartening words. Yes, we don't have a clean track record, but Baruch Hashem, Hashem will be examining our hearts, and there we'll see that we really want to be doing the right thing. They'll see that deep in our hearts are in the right place. That's basically what Rabbi Yochanan is saying here. Yes, we have our faults, but note the fact that we're not happy with them, that we're embarrassed with it. Okay. Rabbi Zeira, what's the Messiah to say? When Rabbi Zeira would finish his tefillah, Omar Halki, he would say as follows. Yiratzoin milfanecha Hashem Elokeinu. May it be your will, Hashem, sheloi necheta, that we do not sin, veloi nevoish, so that we won't be shamed, we won't be embarrassed, veloi nikolei me'avoseinu, and we won't be shamed by our forefathers. That's an interesting way of putting it. He's davening not to sin, so that we shouldn't be embarrassed, that we shouldn't be shamed by our forefathers. So again, like he said, there are all kinds of different perspectives that a person can have to motivate himself. And apparently, something that Rabbi Zeri used as his means of motivation, as his means of inspiration, was the awareness of the stock I come from. This is something that can be used as a very, very great spur for greatness. When a person realizes the stock I come from, when a person realizes, yeah, we're going, we want to go really far back, Avraham Avinu, look at all the efforts he put in, and look how much he davened to be able to have seed who will do him proud. And he was very much conscious of that. Am I making him proud? Do I justify all of Avraham's tefillahs? Not just Avraham Avinu, plenty of others. He was always living with that realization of the Jewish people throughout all the generations have put in so much self-sacrifice to keep the heritage alive and to convey it on to me. Am I justifying their efforts? Rabbi Chia, Bosa de Matzli, Omar Hochi. Rabbi Chia, after davening, he would say as follows. Yiratzoin milfonecho Hashem aleikeinu. May it be your will, Hashem, that your Torah should be our profession, that should be our occupation. Val yidve libeinu, let our hearts not be pained. Val yechshichu einenu, and let our eyes not be darkened. What does this mean? So here also the Mepharshim explain. And when he's saying, let our hearts not be pained and let our eyes not be darkened, he was actually alluding to what Chazal say that the two catalysts of Averis are the eyes and the heart. The eyes take things in, gets the message down to the heart. Heart, there's something new to put on your agenda. The heart gets to work, and then the person does what he does. So Rabbi Zeru is saying, first of all, let the heart not be harmed. That's really what he meant to say. Let the heart not be harmed. Meaning, even if we do chas v'shalom see the wrong things, help us mitigate the effects. Sometimes it's hard to control what you see. Sometimes you see something, and in a glance, there can be years of spiritual damage. Right? So first of all, he's davening for what we call a damage control mechanism. Even if I do see the wrong thing, let it not harm the heart. Let it not make its way in. Let us not be affected by it. And besides, he's davening, let our eyes not be darkened. Meaning, let our eyes not be tainted. Let our eyesight not be tainted with the wrong things, seeing the wrong things. Rav Bosat Sleiseo Marhok. Rav, when he would finish his tefillah, he would say the following. This story we might find familiar. Yiratzoy milfonecho, Hashem Elokeinu. May it be your will, Hashem Elokeinu, Shetiten lanu chayim arukim, that you grant us long lives. Chayim shel sholoy, life of peace, right? Is this ringing a bell? Oh, that's a chodesh, right? Life of peace, chayim shel toiva, life of good, chayim shel bracha, life of blessing. What does life of blessing, by the way, mean? Life of blessing means blessing, bracha, going to different track. Forget what we said before about bracha. Bracha means increase. I think what we said before also, but bracha means increase, meaning let it be life of growth, not just staying in the same place. Life of growth. Chaim shel parnasa, life of parnasa. I don't need to explain too much. Everybody understands that. Chaim shel chilutz atzamos, let it be a life of energy. We have koyach, energy, to get ahead. Chaim sheyesh ben yiras chet, life in which we feel dread of averus. The daven for the right sensitivities also. We need Hashem to help us develop these sensitivities. Well, you fear an avera. It's not just that technically you try to avoid it. And okay, if you mess up, you messed up. Chaim she'ein b'embusho klima. Chaim in which we don't experience any shame. Chaim shel oysher v'chavoy. Chaim, life of wealth and honor. Chaim she'tehebanu avas Torah v'yira shamayim. Let it be lives of love of Torah and a fear of heaven. See, all these are all things that a person has to daven for. A person can work, has to work at it himself too. But you'll often need the tefillahs to help you get there. Chaim shetemale lanu es kol mishalos libeinu l'tovah. Let it be life in which you fulfill all of our requests for good. Meaning, we make a lot of requests, but we make our requests with the realization we don't necessarily know what's good for us. So we add a clause and we say, fulfill our requests, but if it's the good thing. If not, we leave it up to you to decide. This is in general something very, very, very important thing to note when you're davening. You have to approach your davening in that way. You daven, meaning you tell Hashem, this is what I want, I think. But at the end of the day, you have the bigger picture, you know what's better than me, and therefore at the end of the day, I'm leaving it up to you to decide. Yiras Chet and Yiras Shamayim are two different things. Yiras Shamayim, there are a couple of different levels. Yiras Shamayim divides into, first of all, the most basic level of Yiras Shamayim is fear, what we call Yiras Oynish. Right? The higher level of Yiras Shamayim is simply when a person is living with a constant awe of Hashem, and he feels that awe all the time, and that guides him in life, etc., etc. Yiras Chet is even a higher madrigal. Yiras Chet is really the highest of levels of Yiras Shamayim. It's when a person is at such a level of awareness of Hashem that he feels his whole life like he's walking on eggshells. When he realizes how unbelievable it is to have a relationship with Hashem, he's always struck with the fear that I might do something to mess it up. And therefore, he's always on edge. Now, if a person just tries to jump straight there, it'll do most people in. And most people can't live that way. When a person, we're talking about a person who really reaches the highest madrigas of awareness of Hashem and of love of Hashem, where it's not fear as in, where is Hashem waiting to bang me over the head? This is something that has nothing to do with banging over the head. It's an issue of, I'm so in awe that I have this sort of relationship with Hashem, and I'm so aware of how delicate and how precious this is, that I'm scared to drop it. I'm scared to mess it up in the tiniest way. That's your aspect.
Since your guest, what you said about 40 minutes ago, 50 minutes ago.
That?
Be happy.
Oh, so that's why I was saying that you can't jump straight there. The truth is that this level of U.S. hate, a person living in this way, does not feel. It's not a worrisome existence. You know what it's kind of comparable to? It's comparable to a person who has been training. What's that? A person who has been training for some grand performance. And finally he's going to make his debut. This is the first time he's going to step out and perform in front of 100,000 people. Now he's stepping out there with an extreme, very, very nervous and shaky, but he wouldn't give up on the experience. When we're talking about a person who really reaches a true appreciation of what a relationship with Hashem is, it's a chilling thrill. Right, it's something that a person wouldn't give up on, but he's walking in a constant state of, this is too good to be true and I better make sure to hold on to it. That's what Yiras Chet is. Yiras Chet is not, where is Hashem looking to trip me up? Yiras Chet is really, it's too good to be true and I better hold on to it. It's like, the way the Aruch HaTzadikim puts this, is that when a person is so in love with somebody else, that he's on extra guard to take care not to do something to ruin the state that they're in. So the fear is not really one of, is Hashem going to burn me? He's so close with Hashem, he's not scared of Hashem burning. Hashem doesn't want to burn him. Burning is for people who are tempted to go out and in a very coarse way defy the word of Hashem. He said, watch out, you might get burnt. When a person is so close with Hashem, the fear is more one of, I don't want to do anything to lose any of this. That's what it's more like. What's that? Hashem is asking a good question. What are we davening to Hashem? May it be your will that you do these things for us. Hashem made it very clear that that's his will in the first place. Right? Hashem told you, I want you to fear me, etc., etc. What are you coming and davening? Hashem, I have a great idea. Right? Shkoyach, go look back at the Torah. No, but the answer is that at the end of the day, Hashem will grant these things if we ask for it. We have to realize that a part of our hishtadlus and ruchnius is davening. Davening is a part of how we go about achieving these things. We have to realize that. Hashem says, part of the job is, it is my will, but I only give it if you beg. I only give it if you beg. And the truth is also, when we say may it be your will, the truth is, when we translate yehi ratzon as may it be your will, it's a little bit inaccurate. Really, ratzon, in this context, really, a more accurate translation would be, may it be pleasing to you, Hashem. Meaning, if you please, that's really a way of saying it. Meaning, I know you want to give it, but I know that a person has to merit receiving it. Can I please get some? That's really the approach. Okay. Rebbe, Bosat Sleisei Omar Hochi. When Rebbe would finish his tefillah, he would say as follows. This also is going to sound familiar to us. Yiratzon milfanecha. May it please you, right? We just said. May it please you. Hashem Aleikeinu, Ve'elekei Aviseinu. Hashem, our God, and the God of our fathers. Shetatzileinu, me'azei panim. That you save us from brazen people. O me'azus panim. And from brazenness. We'll see soon what these two things are. I'm sorry? Oh, that's right. Should ring a bell. May Adam Ra, from a bad person, or me Pegara, and from bad occurrences, me Yetzer Ra, from the Yetzer Hara, Mechovera, from a bad friend. Person falls in with a bad friend, that can be very spiritually damaging. Mishachen Ra, from a bad neighbor. Even if a person isn't friendly with him, if you're living in the area of the wrong type of person, that could also cause problems, both materially and spiritually. Omitzotah Amashchitz, and from the destructive Satan. Omidin Kasha, and from tough cases. Omibaldin Kasha, and from tough litigants. We'll explain all this, Bezos Hashem. Ben Chu Ben Bris, or Ben Cheinoi Ben Bris. Whether it's Jewish or not Jewish. Now Rebbe would dive in all this, meaning you see that Rebbe was very apprehensive about messing up with the wrong people, right? That's a lot of this is focused around that. Not to run up against brazen people and brazenness and tough litigants, etc. Rebbe davens for all this. Even though Rebbe was very well protected, Rebbe had bodyguards. Rebbe was a personal friend of the Roman Emperor. Right, remember? Old Antoninus? So, Antoninus appointed bodyguards to protect Rebbe. He had a whole police force at his disposal. And yet he davened for these things, because at the end of the day, contention, even if you're protected lemaisa, contention can ruin a person's peace of mind, etc. Now, what was he davening for? So again, Rebbe, first of all, he was the Nasi. He was the leader of the generation. And such people always arouse opposition. Ask any rabbi. The rabbi arouses opposition. In fact, I think that there's some survey showed, a general survey from the outside world. I heard it in New York once from some other source, that a survey showed that the most stressful job there is an Orthodox Jewish rabbi. Interesting thing to note. Now again, ask any rav, I'll tell you it's not surprising. Now, so he's davening. First, save us from brazen people and from brazenness. This is understood in two ways. Brazenness is representative of mamzerus, and people wouldn't stop at anything. You have Rebbe, who was a direct descendant from David HaMelech. People could be, he knew the chevre he was dealing with, he knew what he was up against. Yes, he could have people running around and trying to pull his lineage through the mud. He was davening for that too, but also something literally, some of the mafarshim say, was davening, save me from brazenness, meaning when I am provoked, oi, help me Hashem, that I shouldn't be schlepped into brazenness. Let me retain my refinement. Don't let me be drawn after it. Don't let me stoop to their levels. Okay, he davens. Then when he continues and he says also, me din kasha, me bal din kasha. From hard cases. So here also, Rebbe is davening. He doesn't want to get dirty. He was running a court. It was the Av Beis Din. He was davening not to get tangled up in these dirty cases, right? That just, there's no winners and there are only losers, and the question is who loses more, and both sides are determined to make sure, I don't care how much I lose, as long as everybody else involved loses. Umibal din kashem, from tough litigants, whether Jewish or not Jewish. So this is the tefillah of a leader, to be spared the travails of what leaders face. Okay.